From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, Texas prison music, albums recorded behind the walls.
And I just immediately felt like I was getting this haunting window into prison life more than half a century ago.
This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In the 1960s, 70s, and 80s, the Texas prison system produced a series of albums with music recorded by the inmates and sold at the Huntsville Prison Rodeo. These songs, recorded behind prison walls, offer a rare window into the hardship, loneliness, and talent of the incarcerated. The songs were largely forgotten, but they're being collected and put online by Maurice Chaumont, a staff writer with the Marshall Project.
Howdy, folks, and welcome to Texas Prison Rodeo. You're listening to TDC Rodeo Band, and we'd like to do a few of our songs for you. This first song is about a friend of ours that's been around the rodeo circuit for a long time. Busting Bronx for that hard money. Gonna be a star. Rodeo superstar.
I first found one of these records recorded by people in a Texas prison about 10 years ago for sale on eBay. And it came in the mail. I was just kind of curious to know what this was all about. And it had a man being flung from a horse on the cover of the record sleeve. And on the back, it explained that every year in Huntsville, Texas, there was a prison rodeo. It ran from about early 30s until the mid 80s. And each year, it was what a prison rodeo sounds like. I mean, people would gather, tens of thousands of people in Huntsville in an arena and watch incarcerated people do rodeo events. But there were also musicians who had prison bands, and they would spend all year really rehearsing in the music departments of different prisons in East Texas mostly. And then during the Sundays in the fall when the rodeo would take place, they would perform on stage and frequently appear on the same day as major visiting country stars like Dolly Parton or Johnny Cash or Willie Nelson.
And they would sell the album that they would produce as a souvenir for the rodeo?
That's right, exactly. So the Texas Department of Corrections, which has since changed its name, but at the time was the prison agency, almost functioned like a miniature record label. They would record about an album's worth of songs from these bands, and they would be for sale. And the estimates are that something like 3,000 were sold every weekend.
Well, I've been a great hand at losing. I lose in most things that I do, but I'll be a winner come tomorrow, 'cause I'll be coming home to you. You said you'd be so proud to see me, 'cause I've been away for so long. But I'll be a-coming home tomorrow, 'cause I'll be back there with you.
What is it about this that really attracted your attention?
So a few things. First of all, it is just a fascinating historical curiosity that there were these prison bands making music in the 70s and 80s, very much kind of musically in conversation with the music of the era. You put these records on and it sounds like could have been a band that opened for Willie Nelson or Waylon Jennings or what have you. I also think that these songs are a window into a different way of thinking about sort of what prison can be. You know, today when we think of prison, we think of these massive facilities where a lot of people are held in solitary confinement, where there aren't a lot of opportunities to be creative, to necessarily always get an education. And frequently prisons, I would say today, kind of fail in the effort to help people so that they are not returning to crime when they, you know, leave. Many people leave prison desperate. They can't find a job or a house. They frequently return to crime pretty quickly. But in the 70s and 80s across the country, sort of before the war on drugs, before the era of mass incarceration, there was something of a more rehabilitative mindset. I mean, I don't want to, you know, gloss over it too much and make it sound like it was nice to be in prison in the 70s or 80s. It was still a rough experience and it was still punishment for a crime. But there was more of a sense of rehabilitation. And I think that this music is a really kind of just immediate window into what that was like.
A funny way to say hello, goodbyes full of tears. A thousand times I've said these words, but no one ever hears. A love so bright it hurts my eyes, blind to what was true. I live for them, my darling, I lost myself in you. But how can I tell you, darling, that the happy times have gone, that tonight's our last together, tomorrow I'll be gone. So many times I've said these words, no one ever hears. Tonight I'll say our last hello and the goodbye full of tears.
The music and the songs, we have to think about, okay, these are prisoners writing. Frequently, it's autobiographical songs.
That's right. So a great example is the song Afraid to Go Home, which is one of my favorites. And it's about a man who is about to be released. And he reveals in the course of the lyrics that the woman he was with has left him and they had a child together. And he's not really sure if he's ever going to see this woman or his child ever again. And so although he's about to leave prison, he's afraid. And he kind of weaves in just the idea that, you know, the technology has changed. He doesn't know how to use a phone. He's just become so accustomed to prison life. There's another really heartbreaking song called Wait For Me, where a man begs his loved one on the outside to sort of what it sounds like, wait for him as he serves out his time. So the songs are really rich with these kind of personal experiences of what it's like to be incarcerated that really kind of humanize the people who wrote them.
I've been so long in prison that time has passed me by. I've forgotten how to dial a phone, forgotten how to cry. Well, I don't know what the door is for till an armed guard brings a key. And I feel so lost and helpless that my tears won't let me see. For tomorrow I'll be free again and start rolling like a stone. I'm a free man tomorrow, but I'm afraid to go home.
You are finding something that has been basically lost. These songs haven't been played on the radio, I don't think, ever. Many of them just kind of are faded into the background. Talk about that experience, about discovering these.
Sure. It was pretty amazing. The first album I found from a Texas prison radio was about 10 years ago. And then over the course of, you know, the next few years, I learned that there had been prison bands across the country, many of them from the 60s, 70s, 80s. You can still find their music on Spotify and Apple Music and other streaming services because it was put out by major labels. But because the Texas music was just put out by the prison agency and sold at the rodeo, hearing this music is really just a matter of if you stumble across one of these records. And I wasn't able to find more of them. Occasionally, I find a few songs that someone else, you know, on the internet had digitized. But I kept looking for them. And eventually, I called up the Texas Prison Museum, which is in Huntsville, not far from where the rodeo itself took place. And they said, yeah, we've got a bunch of this music just sitting in our archives. So I went and I plugged a sort of a portable turntable into a computer. And there were about 10 records there, ranging from the year 1965 to 1982. And I just immediately felt like I was getting this haunting window into prison life more than half a century ago. Especially because the singers and the songs, as I've said, just sound like lost relics of the era that they were from. Some of these prison musicians were incredibly talented. None of them on their own would be a name that the average person would recognize, but many of them before or after prison were playing with major stars of the day. I mean, I met a drummer who would go on to play with the jazz saxophone player Dexter Gordon. There was a saxophone player in prison who also played on the outside with Ray Charles. And I think part of this history that I came to learn was that in the 70s and 80s, you know, a lot of struggling musicians would turn to drugs either as users or as dealers to kind of fund their early careers. One drummer told me, I sold drugs so that I could buy a nice drum set. And occasionally they get picked up and sent to prison. And some of them really treated the prison environment almost as a sort of conservatory where they could spend hours and hours perfecting their craft every day and put on these big shows at the rodeo.
The drummer, what was his name?
Morgan White. Yeah, I interviewed two drummers, actually. Benny Medina was the one I was thinking of who played with Dexter Gordon. The other one, Morgan White, I interviewed, and he turned out to be almost a kind of Forrest Gump of these old prison albums. His name appeared on more of them than anyone else, on playing more instruments than anyone else, writing, singing, keys, drums. Really, really talented guy. And I was really fortunate to get to interview him. He's in his 80s, you know, long retired. But he looked back really fondly, I think, on some of the music he got to make back then.
How did he describe the process? How do you get on the album?
So there were often songwriting competitions and there were also auditions. The music program within the prison system was very much seen as a privilege. Other men in prison at the time were doing brutal farm labor. They were hoeing cotton and chopping down trees. I mean, it was a really pretty rough prison system back
then.
And
they were doing it under the lash.
They were doing it under the lash, absolutely. In fact, to bring the music in, some of them were still singing work songs that had been passed down from slavery times in the 1960s. You know, you think slavery had ended 100 years earlier, but prisons really kind of replaced slave plantations in some ways, culturally speaking, right? In the sense that the same songs that workers sang 100 years earlier were still being sung in Texas prisons in the 1960s.
Black Betty, bam, bam. Oh, Black Betty. Black Betty, where'd you come from? Bam-a-lam. Black Betty, where'd you come from? Bam-a-lam. Well, I'm coming for Shannon. Bam-a-lam. Well, I'm going to take the tenor. Bam-a-lam. Black Betty, what's your number? Bam-a-lam. Black Betty, what's your number? Bam-a-lam. 750. Bam-a-lam. 750. Bam-a-lam. Oh, Lord, Black Betty. Bam-a-lam. Oh, Lordy, Black Betty. Bam-a-lam. Black Betty. Black Betty had a baby, and a damn thing treated, and a damn thing treated, and she dipped his head and baby, and she dipped his head and baby. Oh Lord, Black Betty,
Bam-a-lam.
Oh Lordy, Black Betty,
Bam-a-lam.
Black Betty, where'd you come from?
Bam-a-lam.
Black Betty, where'd you come from?
Bam-a-lam.
Black Betty, where'd you come from?
Bam-a-lam.
Bam-a-lam. Oh Lordy, Black Betty.
Bam-a-lam.
Oh Lordy, Black Betty.
Bam-a-lam.
So to fast forward a little, these music programs developed. They would bring in professors. There was this kind of rehabilitative ethos, but really only a select few of the best musicians who auditioned and were kind of allowed onto these different unit bands would get to play and spend their time rehearsing. And then within the WIN unit, one of these prisons in East Texas, there was a recording studio where prison staff, the officials who worked there, kind of oversaw the arrangements and recording sessions with these incarcerated musicians.
The themes of many of these songs, you hear a lot of regret, heartbreak, strains on the family from living this life. There's a lot packed into these songs. Sometimes it's coded language.
That's true. You get the sense that they cannot openly criticize the prison system. I mean, Morgan White, the singer and drummer, told me explicitly, you know, rock the boat and you're out, right? It was seen as a privilege that you didn't want to test. So there are sometimes stories where a man says, oh, they're working the devil out of me. Or one man wrote a song that's fictional, and it's from the perspective of someone who's going to be executed in the electric chair for a crime that he did not commit, right? So you do see some sense of injustice and struggle in these songs. But when you think, you know, in the 70s, 80s, this was the era of Stevie Wonder and Marvin Gaye and just a real kind of protest resistance sensibility coming into popular music. There is none of that in these prison songs. And so to the extent you have it's coded and you have to sort of read into it.
My boat, take me away, dreaming of those good old days, when I was so free and gay, in the good of everything. I had it made there in Fort Wayne. Sweethearts, I had a few. Gray skies never made me blue. Happy with the friends I knew, and I wish it were the same. I had some good times in Fort Wayne, but I went on a trip one day. Trouble found me along the way. Now fate has changed my destiny. I will never again be free. They say I killed a man. One swore it was even planned. God knows I'm a guiltless man, but my plea was all in vain. I should have never left Fort Wayne. I hear those prison keys, death bells of eternity. The chair is awaiting me, but my soul shall not be chained. I'm gonna ride that glory train. The promised land will stay the same. It's heaven in Fort Wayne.
Some of these songs are they're pleading to family members, but they're really putting a lot of the sense of ownership and responsibility on themselves, which is, you know, I think part of the message that the prison wanted to get across too, which is, you know, you have made a massive mistake in committing whatever crime it was. You may have really harmed someone else. You may have killed someone. But there is an opportunity for personal redemption. And one way to do that is through, you know, writing songs that really express how you feel, right? Not everybody can express how they feel in standard writing or in a one-on-one interview. Sometimes this sort of the medium of music was, I imagine, very helpful for some of these men in expressing kind of the stew of emotions involved in being in prison and thinking about coming back out.
It will soon be summertime, and Daddy's coming home to you. Lord, I know I've been gone so long, and a long time coming home. This old life that I've been living, isn't one of which I'm proud. Not a name, but a number, a lonely face in the crowd. Prison life is always lonely. Hope comes from memories I cling to, and I know it won't be long. I'll be coming home to you.
Another function of these records and the songs and the performances is underlying the humanity of the prisoners.
I think that's right. I think that was, it's explicit in sometimes what's on the back of the albums themselves. So there was one of these albums had some text on the back that was explaining what it was. And it said, quote, "Some are sad songs, but some have the flicker of hope that reflects the inner thoughts of incarcerates." It's an odd word for people in prison, but incarcerates who someday will again be free to use their God-given musical talents. There was also a radio show sort of some years before this in which it was not uncommon for Texas governors and other kind of major personalities of the time to go on and talk about the incarcerated performers and say, you know, these are people too, and we should really learn about their rehabilitation so that we as a society are ready to welcome them back. I mean, I think it was sort of I think the power of this music is that it's a two-way street. The incarcerated people maybe find some redemption or rehabilitation through music making, but then also we on the outside hearing it encounter their humanity in ways that I would hope sort of prepare us to see them as fully human when they come back and for example, not deny them housing and jobs and all of the kind of barriers that we as a society often put up to people coming out of prison that can make it so hard for them.
Most of the music is country western, but there's other genres here. Like what catches your ear that's not from the country western canon?
I would say the bit that catches my ear the most and surprised me the most was the jazz. As I mentioned, a number of these musicians were very skilled and would use their time in prison to get even better at their instruments. And the level of skill, I think, comes across most clearly in the jazz, where you have really impressive drum fills and saxophone runs that are kind of out of the bebop tradition, really at a very, very high level. There's also a fair bit of kind of folk songs where you really sense that even more than in a traditional country song, they're kind of telling a full beginning to end story over the course of the music. I was surprised to see, you know, bits of surf rock. And then also there's a kind of R&B soul element in some of this music where the singing is really impressive, but so too are the arrangements. You know, it's not just that each player is very good. It's that the whole scope of the music, there's a lot going on. There's horns, there's percussion, there's different multiple keyboards going on in some of these tracks. And so just the ambition of the arrangement stuck out to me sometimes.
Just one more time before you go. I wanna try and convince you, baby, I still love you so. Darling, please don't make me beg you. Don't make me plead with you to stay. Don't make me face your cold decision. I just can't stand to hear you say it's over. I can't go on this way. It's all over. I can't stand it another day. It's over. It's all said and done. It's all over. Now you'll be the lonely one.
A lot of the songs had, there's sort of a romanticized memories of their lives, maybe before they were incarcerated, particularly about bar rooms?
There's a lot of songs about bar rooms and a lot of songs about trucking and a lot of songs. You can imagine these men in prison who have virtually no access to women are singing about pretty women, men, women being up. You know, one of the songs that I really liked is called Happy Fool. And I think why I liked it so much is because if you've ever heard the song by Willie Nelson called I Gotta Get Drunk, you know, where he sings about how he's going to get drunk that night, but there's just this carefree, joyous attitude to it. And Happy Fool, similarly in prison, is all about just sitting on a barroom stool, eating salty potato chips, drinking a beer, having a pretty girl by his side, and, quote, in the lyrics, he says, telling great big lies, right? This just great sense of being a sort of a BS artist at the bar. I don't know, came to life for me. And you're right, it does sound very romanticized, particularly when you imagine the man writing the song is, of course, nowhere near that barroom. He's in a prison cell.
What's a nice girl like you doing in this barroom? You're an angel, not a waitress, I can see. You'd look better as a mother with a family. Barroom angel, let me take you home with me. You're just what I need to keep me home at night and make my lonely house a place of glee. Don't wipe away my dreams on taproom tables. Barroom angel, let me take you home with me.
We'll be continuing to write about music at the Marshall Project over the next 6 months or so. We're going to have a newsletter that you can sign up for where we'll send you one song that was recorded in prison each week. Some of those are contemporary, you know, music that was released recently. Some of it is even further back than this Texas stuff, you know, blues from the 1930s and 40s. So you'll really get the whole history of American prisons through music. And so I hope people will just continue to engage and listen to this music. And of course, if there's music that I don't know about, I'm eager to hear about it if folks want to send it to me.
Stone cold and lonely, but I'll be breaking out again tonight. In my dreams, bars and doors can't hold me, 'cause when I'm sleeping I can drift right through.
Texas prison inmates once recorded albums that were sold at the Huntsville, Texas Prison Rodeo, a forgotten musical archive from behind the bars. Maurice Chalmal of the Marshall Report is rescuing this music. It's being posted on YouTube on the Marshall Project channel. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. Email us at texasmatters@tpr.org. Download and subscribe to Texas Matters wherever you get cool podcasts. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.